as being bread, where God is speaking that. The sacrifice, korban in Hebrew, means to draw close. And that means with the sacrifice, you had to draw close to God. You had to take your offering. Let's say it was a lamb, and you had to put your hands upon the lamb, and you had to tell what sins you had committed. So it was a personal confession. So by touching the animal, you were transferring, I guess, your sins to the animal for sacrifice. So it was a personal commitment there to, with the animal, to put your sins upon it. You know, and sacrifice was done prior to the scriptures of Torah, because we see that, you know, Abraham did sacrifice and did all of the patriarchs. So it wasn't something that was new. It was done even in the Garden of Eden. We see that, you know, the first murder was committed because of the sacrifice. Cain slew Abel because God was more favorable over the animal sacrifice that Cain had brought. I'm sorry, that Abel had brought. And so Cain, in his jealousy, slew his brother, actually over the sacrifice in the favor of God. And Noah sacrificed after the flood. The korbanot or korban is a shadow of what was to come. You see, when we sacrifice, the committing or the act of sacrifice reminds us of our sins that we have. You know, God, throughout the scriptures, has always required a sacrifice. That's what Yeshua's name is in Hebrew. It's eye for, God always required an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And that's what Yeshua's name means in Hebrew. It means an eye, a tooth, and a nail in the hand. The yod is the hand. So his name, as in Judaism, tells you about what his mission in life was. It was to die by the nail of the cross. He was the sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. God always required something innocent had to die for the guilty. That's what's the sacrifice. You chose an innocent animal, and you transferred your sins to that animal, and the animal was slain, and it was sacrificed. Hebrews 10 reminds us that it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away our sins. Hebrews 10:7, Yeshua said, "Behold, I come to do the will of God." And it is written in the book, the Torah scroll, that is where God is saying he would be sacrificed. God made a new covenant with them, and it tells us in the Torah that, "And I will put my mitzvahs upon their hearts, and I will write my word upon their lips." God is coming. He has a new covenant with the death of his son. A blood sacrifice was required to remove sin. You can read it in Leviticus, also in Hebrews 9:22. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. You can't get rid of your sins without the shedding of blood. You can't pay to get rid of them, and they can't be washed off. Only the blood will remove your sins. And if you read it a lot in today, just to close, we won't get into it today. You have to come to the Torah class, but to get more in depth into it. But there's basically five types of sacrifices, and I'll just briefly mention them as a close. The olah was the burnt offering. The minka was the meal offering. The shelamim was a peace offering. The hatat was the sin offering. And the asham, that was the trespass offering. And that was the offering that required a 20% price to be paid in addition to the sacrifice. So that now the asham was the sacrifice that dealt with trespass. And that's what Yeshua said. We are dead in our sins and our trespasses. And that was the asham sacrifice. Shabbat shalom. That's your Torah for this morning.
Torah, Asher, Sal Moshe, Lifnei B'nei Yisrael, Al Pi Adonai, Beyad Moshe. And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses.
It's high. Come on, cause he can. wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her. And all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old.
Amen.
You may be seated. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I want to welcome everyone online to our Yehuda Messianic congregation in Bristol, Virginia. It's 1128 New Hampshire Avenue in Bristol, Virginia. So if you're anywhere within a couple hours, you're more than welcome to come and join us in person and experience the anointing of the Lord with us here in the house. But if not, we thank you for joining us today. Hope you'll stay in touch. And let us know how you're enjoying the services. Rabbi will be on with his message here in about 30 minutes, so stay tuned. We're going to have a little more worship, and we'll have the word coming forth. Hallelujah. I believe we've got everybody here. His family has. It's great to have everybody survive the rain. And we got a little more rain coming out this week, I guess, but that's going to bring the spring flowers and the grass. It's so beautiful. Amen. The new life is coming forth. And speaking of new life, we're going to be having our Passover at New Life Baptist Church. So everybody remember that. Where's my flyer that I usually have up here for the Passover?
It's flown.
If someone will bring me a flyer.
It floated away.
And then if the flyer, we're going to have our Passover at New Life Baptist Church. It's Saturday night, March 31st at 6:00. And you need to make your reservations online, or you can fill out a form. I believe there's some downstairs. If there's not any up here, if you could. One more thing, Deborah, if you could go downstairs, and I think there's a few forms on the table down there to sign up. Just check. And we want to make sure that you have your forms so that you can sign up. Now, $28 for adults, $15 for children. Children under 5 are free, and that includes dinner, including the Seder plate. And we've got Jean Mabry and her dance team coming, so it'll be it's not just a dinner, and it's not just the Passover. It's a whole evening full of fun. So I think you'll enjoy it. If you wish to bring a table, that's going to be $208 for 8 seats, and you get $15 off. Okay, so if you're online, it's very easy. All you have to do is hit the link on the front page there, the For Zion's Sake front page. There's a link, and it takes you right to the sign up form, and you can pay right there online and get your confirmation. Okay? And so I've got so far 95 people signed up. And let's see, 6 tables. Hallelujah. Reserved tables. So, praise God, and most of these people here are not in the congregation, so I'm assuming you guys are going to be adding to this list, so if that's the case, we're going to be over 100, but I urge you to go ahead and get your tickets in now, so we make sure we've got a little tighter situation here at the Baptist Church. It's not as big as the Holiday Inn, so please go ahead and get your reservations in, so that you have your seats, and we have you down on the list, okay? If you need help here in the congregation members, if you need help for any reason, please let me know, because we do get donations to help out with seats. So, and also, on the other hand, if you can help out with seats, please let me know, so that we can provide for anyone who is not able to cover the cost, okay? So please don't say, I can't come because I didn't have the funds, because God's going to provide for everybody that wants to come. Okay? Say, okay. All right. So don't be shy if it's a real need. Okay? If it's not a real need, don't come to me. But if it's a real need, we will consider and make sure you're taken care of.
And by the way, needs are private. We don't broadcast them and say, you know, so-and-so got a free ticket or whatever, you know. Except me. People say, Joe got a free ticket, you know. But other than that, yeah. Caroline got the joke.
Praise the Lord. So the other report about that is that we have got so far $2,500 and $2,550 in donations to sponsor the event. So thank the Lord for that. Rabbi has been very busy writing letters and calling people and checking in with the people that normally help us out on these events, and people have been responding. We also have had a couple, there's a place online where you can make a donation. A Ben-Gurion level is $500. And I can't remember what we call the $1,000 donation, but if you wish to make a donation there to help back to sponsor the event, because we have a lot of expenses, sound equipment, sound system is $1,000, and all the food for the Seder plates, and all the setup, everything costs money. So to have a nice dinner, we need that extra. The $28 really just goes to cover the meal, and all the extras that we do, a lot of times we just break even. So that is to cover the event, and then we take up an offering. We're going to take up an offering to send to Israel. It's going to be for the Joseph Project this year again. So please pray about that ahead of time. We've paid for our tickets and what we're going to do to make the event happen, but then what are we going to give to Israel this year? God says we're to bring our offerings for Israel three times a year, and this is one of the major feasts that we are to bring our offering, and the offering is to go for the cause of Israel, for the community of Israel. And so we don't keep it here in house, we bring it to Israel. And that's God's pattern. Amen. So we want to encourage you to come, take care of the expenses, but also to pray about how you're going to bless Israel. And this is an opportunity. There's a lot of things out there, but this is a real opportunity to bless Israel. And it's a good, solid thing. The Joseph Project, you know all about it. We've been there. God's expanding it. And he's doing a good work. So this is good ground that you can sow into for Israel. Amen. Hallelujah. The last thing I'm going to say about Passover is that I've made copies of our meeting that we had 2 weeks ago. They are, I'm not sure where they are right now, if they're in the fellowship hall or on the table. But they're in the fellowship, you've got a copy. Please pick up a copy of the notes that I made from our meeting, because it has assignments to job assignments, and it also has, you know, the schedule for the week before. And we've got things going on practically every day that week, and especially Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And so you don't need to call me, you know, what do I need to do? You just need to show up on those days. And if there's anybody you think you can link in with, then ask me and we can coordinate. But basically just show up on those days and we will give you something to do. Okay? All right. And if there's anything else, I will be calling you to ask you. All right? Any questions? Anything I missed about Passover?
I just want to reiterate, if you have a need, don't be ashamed or shy. If you've got, you know, we've got a family with two kids. Life is expensive when you have children, and or if you're just if you're not working or you're on welfare or whatever, and you need assistance, we want you to come. We want everybody to come, and you know, we've never turned anybody away. But I got to tell you, we only have about 110 seats left, and if you guys don't start signing up, people are going to buy them, and you're not going to be able to go, or you'll be able to go, you just won't have a seat, you know. So get your ticket, sign up, and you know, at least sign up, please. That's all I can tell you. You know, we have people that have signed up and not paid yet, but sign up so we can put you down, because other people are buying the tickets like hotcakes. And you know what happens is the last week, this week they'll start, the phone will start ringing, the computer will start, you know, coming in with orders for tickets, and we're going to have to limit it. Usually we have 300 to 400 seats. Not this year, 210 seats, that's it. So we're in a smaller place. We're in a smaller venue at New Life Baptist. So it's not the Holiday Inn. And so I'm going to let you know that, so you get your mind around it, that we're not in the same big room that we usually are. It's a good, you know, it's a gym, but it's still not as big as the Holiday Inn. It's going to be catered. It's going to be a beautiful night. We're going to have the dancers. But please get signed up. That's all I can say.
Praise the Lord. Also, okay, I said last thing, but now I'm remembering one more item, which is on the back of the flyer that I don't have. But it's on the website, too. There's a schedule. This is blank sheet, but there's a schedule of rabbis' speaking engagements. Maria, hold it up so everybody can see. Okay? So the reservation here is on the front. There's the form. All right, all you got to do is fill it out, put it in one of the envelopes here, and write on it, Passover tickets. All right, and I'll put you down. And then on the back is Rabbi's schedule coming up for his speaking engagements. And the first one starts this Sunday, and it's at New Life Baptist Church. It's not our Passover. It's New Life Baptist Church, their Passover. And they are having a meal, so... if you want to come, that's fine, but you do need to call them. And I'm not sure that the telephone number is listed here, but you just need to look them up in the book and call them for reservations and make sure that they know that you're coming if you want to participate. Then the following week we have, I believe there's Central Baptist, and then we have Abingdon Bible Church for four nights. So... And then
Central Baptist a week from Sunday. If you're in Johnson City,
right, Johnson City.
If you know anyone in Johnson City looking for a Seder, I'll be at Central Baptist in Johnson City. So just have contact them, and they'll probably be able to let you get a ticket for their Seder. That's always a big one. And then we'll be at, I think there's a Seder Wednesday night
at Abingdon Bible.
At Abingdon Bible.
And then Thursday night is Valley Forge United Methodist Church.
In Elizabethton.
So I have just told you the schedule, and it's all written right here. Okay?
Amen.
Amen. And I will turn it back over to you, Rabbi.
Okay. Thank you. Isn't she lovely?
Yes, I am.
You know, she was going to go away with me to Kentucky. Isaac and I had two great... Isaac went with me for moral support and to keep me awake on the road, and you know, it was a breakthrough for me. I haven't driven 4 hours, 4.5 hours in a long time by myself, and for those watching who don't know me, due to health reasons, but Isaac was with me and we did it, and stopped and took a little cat nap on the way up. Took a little cat nap. We got back to about exit 4 on 81. We just took a rest there for an hour, and then got back on the road and finished the trip. And I preached. Actually, the day that we went up there, Wednesday, I drove up, got to the hotel, took an hour nap, and preached. And I was fine. We went out to dinner afterward, and everything was just great. And it just, I praise the Lord. That's a victory for me, you know. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
To be able to do that. Usually Don does a lot of the driving and stuff like that, but for me to go 4 hours or 3 hours at a pop, that's pretty good. So I'm blessed. And we had a great time. So anyway, well, let's take our tithes and offerings, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give back to you what you have given to us, Lord. Thank you for your goodness to us, your blessings. Thank you for the roofs over our heads, for the clothes on our backs, for the comforters and the pillows on our beds. Thank you, Lord, that we have heat and hot water and all the amenities of life, comforts that we could want. We're wealthy beyond our, compared to the world. We are very, very wealthy people. We're just grateful to you for the way you provided. Not only that, for our spiritual richness, because you have given us the riches of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. You've unlocked the treasure trove to the riches of heaven. And we thank you for that, Lord. And so we give back to you today as we bring our offerings and our tithes and our offerings, Lord. Just bless the givers and bless the gifts 100-fold. And if you're watching online and you'd like to contribute, if you watch our congregation and you enjoy these services, you like to give, you can give securely online. We don't get your information, just your name and address. We don't get your credit card information through PayPal, just that you donated. So thank you for those of you who do give. And God bless you. We love you all. And Shabbat Shalom.
on the road marked with suffering. Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory. This pain in the offering, I will bless your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. Though this pain in the offering, I will bless your name. Disappointed, things may be looking bad, but God is always for us. He is with us, and the road that He has for us is a good place to be. So let's look to Him. Behold, He is our salvation.
Salvation, I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord my God is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. For the Lord my God is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. La la la. With joy I drink the living water from the well that never will run dry. For the Lord my God is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. For the Lord my God is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. La 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 la.
Thank you.
of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, me must rock.
Me must rock.
Shepherd shot me bow. Oh, me must rock.
Me must rock.
Shepherd shot me bow. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yehishua Adonai, Mevorah, Mevorah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Come, let us go. Thank you.
do a march around the Deborah. Let's do a march around the room.
We surrender.
Out to him and thank him for the things maybe we've forgotten or maybe he's revealing to us right now. Maybe we've been grumbling or maybe we were disappointed in something we thought he should have given us. But we are thankful because we have eternity and we are thankful because we have life in him. We have new life. Sometimes we need a new chapter in our lives. So Lord, just reach out. Say, Lord, I need a new chapter. I need new life. Spring up some of that pretty green grass in my heart today. And let a flower bloom. Hallelujah.
Honey of silver.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Test 1, 2. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Hallelujah. On the night he was betrayed, Yeshua, Jesus, took the cup of the Passover meal, the third cup, and he said, he blessed it. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. On that same Passover night, Yeshua took the afikomen, the middle layer of the matzah, or bread, and he broke it and gave it to his disciples. It's the bread taken after every meal at Passover. And he said, he blessed it, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. Amen. And Yeshua said of the bread, he said, this bread is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He also took the cup, and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sin. I'm going to ask Deborah and Maria if they would come up and serve. If you'd like to come and serve. Thank you. And we invite all believers in Yeshua to come to the table of the Lord. You don't have to be a member of our congregation. You just have to be. God has to have revealed his son to you, and you have to have received forgiveness of sin through his blood. And if you believe that he is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, rose again on the third day after being buried, and and that he is the Messiah, we welcome you to come. So if you're at home and you'd like to participate, you just want to grab some, if you have matzah or crackers or bread, whatever you have, and some fruit of the vine, and you can join us at home. Okay? So before we do, let's bow our heads while you're getting ready at home, and maybe if there's anyone here today or anyone watching that doesn't know Yeshua, let's close our eyes and bow our heads for a moment. If there's anyone that does not know Yeshua, if you've never met the Savior, just raise your hand. Say, Rabbi Joe, I don't know the Savior. I don't know Yeshua. Is there anyone here today that doesn't know him? Raise your hand if you don't. Who does know him? Raise your hand if you do. Raise your hand. Do you know him? Raise your hand. Praise God. Everybody in the house. All right, well, if there's anybody online that doesn't know Yeshua, we're going to pray with you. If you'd like to invite the Savior into your life and get a fresh start, you know, a lot of people say they're going to get a fresh start with life, and they move to another city, and they get a new job, and they think that's a fresh start. Before long, it gets old. But a fresh start is when you invite Yeshua into your life. That'll give you a start like you've never had before. So if you just pray with me, pray this prayer. Dear God, I believe that you sent Yeshua to die as the Passover lamb, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. That means my sin. I've messed up, Lord. I confess. I've broken your law every day and in every way. Oh God, forgive me. I need Yeshua. I need a sacrifice. I need his righteousness in order for me to be righteous. Put my name in your book of life. And come into my heart, Holy Spirit. Right now. Right here. In Yeshua's name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today and you're watching, just let us know. I have a gift for you. And just you can email us or you can message us privately on our Facebook page. You don't, nobody will see it but me, or probably just me. So just message us and let us know, and I'll be in touch with you, okay? But if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, I believe that, you know, God says if we confess with our mouths and we believe in our hearts that Yeshua, that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. Some people don't believe in a sinner's prayer, but that's how you confess it. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Yeshua, Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. All right, folks, come as you're ready to the table of grace. Amen. L'chaim b'Yeshua, to life in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen. my cup runneth over. I'm going to have to make a pit stop during my message. You guys filled me up today. My wife did it to me, she said. Wow. It's a good thing I'm not an Episcopalian, or I would be like, whoa. I'll never forget my friend Father Harry. He used to drink that cup. People would dip. Some people would sip. But he'd have to drink the whole thing after they were through. Must have been fun. All right. We're going to bless the children on the stage. Okay. Kids, I'm going to pray for you up here. You don't have to come up. And by the way, we have a new newsletter out. Came out. It was mailed out yesterday. Passover is back. Really should be Passover is back in the church after 1,700 years. Passover never went away. But, you know, we're a humble ministry, so... this newsletter is what I preached last week. So if you weren't here and you'd like a copy of the newsletter, raise your hand if you don't have one, if you don't get it in the mail and you'd like a copy, just raise your hand and maybe somebody could pass it out. All right. Crystalline, you want a copy of the newsletter? She's got one. Thanks, Nick. I'll just take one up here. All right. I'm going to make sure Crystalyn is well informed. Yes. Wait till she does it. Wait, he's not. Just leave it. We're not doing this right, so let's just leave it. Somebody doesn't know what they're doing, so let's just leave it. Okay, it's not hurting anybody, and we'll figure it out afterward. Whew. I'm glad I took my blood pressure medication. Oh, Lord have mercy. Whew. Can you hear me? Okay, let's turn my volume up a little. Can we do that, please? Let's turn the volume up a little. I need a little more volume, please. Dawn's going to make one announcement. She's going to make, maybe not that quite that high, but make an announcement. Here's a microphone.
Just about the kids concerning the Passover banquet. Kids are going to be singing Dayenu, okay? They always do. It's a tradition. Everybody say tradition. Tradition. So I'm going to practice that today. And Miss Carolyn, would you like to come downstairs and help me practice with the kids? And we'll get them a snack and practice Dayenu. Okay, thank you. And I'd like for them to be in the program. They're going to be in the program, so... they need to be dressed up and nice, and they're going to sing Dayenu for everybody that Saturday night, okay?
Okay. All right. All right, let's pray. Thank you. Let's pray for the kids, and we'll pray for the message, and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our children. We love them and we bless them. We're just grateful for them. And we just pray, Lord, that your will be done in their lives, every one of them, those who are here. We pray for Danny and Joey and Brooke and Crystal Lynn and for Xavier and Billy and Joshua And, oh, Lord, help me. Giovanna, what's your lovely daughter's name?
Joanna.
And forgive me. For Joanna and for Isaac and for all the kids who aren't here today, Lord, we pray for them as well. And we just pray your will be done in their life. Pray that you lead them in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Your word says, Lord, that the word that is in our mouths, the word that is in us will not depart from our children's mouths or our children's children's mouth from this day forth and forevermore. And we just claim that for these kids, that your word will not depart from our mouths or our children or their children's mouths from this day forth and forevermore. Isaiah 54:19, I believe. And we just bless them and pray that you anoint them to hear your word today and to prepare for Dianu, and that they behave for Miss Dawn. And just thank you. Bless the kids. Bless them in school. Help them to hear your voice and to learn. You are the rabbi. You're the teacher. We ask that you would teach them each day in school. Teach them something new, Lord, by your Spirit. Help them to hear your voice in Yeshua's name, and give your angels charge over them. Protect our children as they go through the week. Protect them, watch over them, and keep them from harm, keep them from sickness. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen. Oh, and yes, Lord, we just pray for this message now. Bring forth your word in the name of Yeshua. Bring forth your word in the name of Yeshua, and anoint me, anoint our ears to hear and our eyes to see, and bind the enemy, and just release your word now in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah. Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. Last week, we... Tell me when we're on there, Isaac. Just tell me when. Hallelujah. It's on? Okay. Well, I want to welcome folks on Facebook. Hello, shalom. We're glad. I want to say hello to you. Welcome. And let us know you're there. And we just want to welcome you today. Last week, this message was Passover is back in the church after 1,700 years. Why? Passover is back in the church after 1,700 years of being absent. Why? We concluded last week's message with we gave several reasons why it left. We talked about why Passover was taken out of the church last week, and then we talked about one or a couple reasons why it was brought back. And we left off with the Exodus, that there's an Exodus coming. And so you really have to hear that message last week to get to where we are today. But you can go online or you can read this. It's in this letter, so make it easy for you. Okay? So this week we're going to talk about the coming Exodus. And when Jews return to Israel... When Jews return from the nations, it's called Aliyah. That's the Hebrew word that for the return of Jewish people from the exile, from the diaspora, from the nations. Okay, so Jewish people refer to it when Jews come home from the nations as Aliyah, and so many millions of Jews have come back to Israel since 1900. Or 1898. I think it was 1898 at the Council of Basel, Switzerland, when Theodor Herzl prophesied that in 50 years the state of Israel would be in existence. And 50 years to the day that he said it, Israel became a state. 50 years to the day, and from, I guess it must have been May 14th or 15th, 1898. He spoke at the Council of Basel in Switzerland, a Zionist council, Zionist meeting, and prophesied, not knowingly that he was prophesying, that there would be a state of Israel in 50 years, and there was. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And Jewish people have been returning ever since then, since the late 1800s, and throughout the 20th century, Jewish people have been returning. One mistake that prophecy teachers make when they talk about Israel is that it's fulfilled, is that Israel has finished. The state of Israel is fulfilled. It's there. It's done. God fulfilled the prophecy. No way. And God's word says he's going to bring all his people back who will obey. And I'm going to we'll talk about that. So long, long ago, when the children of Israel were just leaving Egypt, and before they had even entered into the promised land, Moses spoke to them, saying, "The Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord your God will drive you, and there you will serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear, nor eat nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress," or as the King James puts it, tribulation, "in the latter, and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which he swore to them." God said this to the children of Israel and to Moses. Moses said this, the word of God, in Deuteronomy 4, 27 through 31. The Jewish people were never meant to live among the nations. We were never meant to live among the nations. We had God had prepared a place for the Jewish people, for the children of Israel, to live. And it was a land flowing with milk and honey. And he says in Exodus 3, 8, "So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites." So God never intended for the Jewish people to go among the nations and live. He gave us the land of milk and honey, the promised land, and brought us out of Egypt into the promised land. But we disobeyed him. And we were scattered, we were exiled because of our sin. You can read that in Deuteronomy 28. You can read it in the fall in Jeremiah, the exile from Israel, from Judah, to Babylon. You can read in Chronicles about the exile. I think it's 1 Chronicles 17. Talks about the exile from Assyria to Assyria from the northern kingdom. And how in 722, Sennacherib came down and attacked the one of the Assyrian kings. In 722, he destroyed the northern kingdom. He took all the people captive, left only a few in the land, and then he repopulated the land with his own people. And that's what we call the Samaritans today. Those people who came from Assyria and inhabited the land of the northern kingdom became what we call the Samaritans, because it says in the Bible they learned about the God of Israel, and many of them worshiped the God of Israel, but they also worshiped their idols. And so when Jesus went to the Samaritan woman, you know, she said, "You Jews worship what you know, we worship what we know," because they had a kind of a different form of worship in Samaria, okay? And they're still doing it today. They actually celebrate Passover in Samaria, but they have a different way of celebrating it, and they also worship strange gods as well. So it's interesting that even to this day it's going on what happened in 722 BC. But let's go on. So God never intended for the children of Israel to be among the nations. Of course, God never intended for people to go to hell either. He didn't create hell as a place for people. He created it for Satan and his minions. He did not create hell for people. And it was created, you can read that in the Bible. It was not created. Men were never meant to go there. We were meant to be redeemed and to be, you know, saved and spend eternity with the Lord in paradise in heaven. And you know, you can research me on that. I don't have the scripture verse on that, but we don't. We were never intended to go. Hell was not created for mankind. Unfortunately, people choose to go there. They choose. And I was listening to a song the other day, a very old song from the 60s. I can't remember the name of it. And it says, you know, I know there's a hell. I'm hoping there's no heaven. You know, there is no heaven. I'm hoping there's no hell. That's what it says. I know there's no heaven. I'm hoping there's no hell. And the song said, it's a very popular song from the 60s. And a lot of groups did it back in those days. But anyway, of course, God, hell is a place that was prepared for Satan and his legions, but not for man. Yet because of disobedience to God's commandments, people choose to go to hell. In the same way, the children of Israel were scattered to the ends of the earth by choice. See, I have set, this is, God says this in Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, and that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. It's a choice. It was always a choice. Folks, you have free will. You have free will. You can eat the pie or you can eat the salad. Amen? You can eat the ribs or you can eat the salmon. It's your choice. You know, we have free will, yet somehow God knows the choice we're going to make because he knows the end from the beginning, but we have free will. Not everything is predestined. You do have a degree of choice. There is a, you are predestined for salvation. That's true. God knew when he wrote the book of life. Do you know the names of the book of life were in there from the foundation of the world? Read Daniel chapter 12. The names were sealed up. The book of life was sealed. All the names were in it at the time of Daniel. God knew you'd be in the book of life. Amen? He knew. Well, how did he know? How did God know? Because he knows the end from the beginning, right, Miss Aja? He knows the end from the beginning. And so he knew that you were going to be in the book. Amen? And so you could say you were predestined to be in the book. But salvation is a choice. I wouldn't go, some churches believe that just because they say you belong to this church, you're predestined. And that's wrong. You still need to get saved. You need to choose Yeshua. You need to choose Jesus as your Savior. Don't just go to a church that says, oh, you're predestined. That's what they told us in the synagogue. You're the chosen people. You have a covenant with God and you don't need Jesus. That's what they told me in the synagogue growing up. And and I'll say it, in many Lutheran churches, they believe in predestination. Many different other Protestant churches believe in predestination, that you belong to the church, and the Episcopal Church, some Presbyterian churches, the Anglican Church, the Church of Christ. They believe you're predestined, that if you're a member of the church, the Catholic Church, if you're a member of the church, then you're predestined. But that's separate from faith in Yeshua and Jesus Christ. Being a member of any church is not the way to salvation. Being a Jew and being a member of a synagogue is not the way to salvation. The only way to be saved is to put your trust in Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. Through him, the only way to the Father is through the Son. There is no other way. There's no other name under heaven, Peter said, by which men are saved. But it is a choice. And therefore, God says in Deuteronomy 30, verse 15, therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land with which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Hallelujah. Now, God's promises are yes and amen. Amen? God's promises are yes and amen. So when God says, I'm going to give you this land to you and your descendants forever, maybe some are going to not make it, but some of them are. I mean, there's going to be Jews in the land because God said so. Amen? They may not all get over there. We may not all make it over there, but many, many will. Amen? Okay. Once scattered, Moses prophesied that the Jewish people would serve other gods, that the work of men's hands, not the true God of Israel, who worked miracles for the Israelites. As a boy, I often wondered why God did miracles for Moses, but not for us. I didn't realize that birth, that even just getting out of bed in the morning was a miracle. I didn't realize that my next breath was a miracle. That you know, pretty much everything I do is a miracle. I didn't think of it that way. But we wondered, you know, why did God do these really cool miracles like turning the water to blood and parting the sea and turning a staff into a snake and all these things? You know, I couldn't do that, you know. Why did he do it for Moses and not for us? I used to wonder. And Moses prophesied that in the end of days, during a time of tribulation, the Jewish people would return to the Lord. He would not forsake or destroy us. The prophet Jeremiah wrote, "Hear the word of the Lord, O nations," in Jeremiah 31:10, "and declare in the isles afar off, and say, He who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock." Jeremiah 31:10. "He who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock." God's promise to the Jewish people scattered among the nations. He will gather us. From all nations, and it hasn't happened yet from this country or from South America or from Canada. It's happened from the Middle East. It's happened from Africa. It's happened from Asia, but it has not really happened in Europe. It's happened in Europe. Jews have been gathered from Europe. And foolishly, many have gone back to Europe. I was in California 5 years ago, and I got a word. My people have managed to get themselves halfway around the world from me. My people have managed to get themselves halfway around the world from me. And you can see all the stuff going on in California. It's a warning. Get out. Get out of California. In order for the Jewish people to return, Moses declared that there must first come a time of distress or tribulation, I said, which would precipitate repentance and acceptance of Yeshua the Messiah as the true Messiah of Israel. But what kind of distress would cause such a mass repentance? And we read that. Do you remember I just read that a little guy? When you are in distress in the latter days, Deuteronomy 4:27-31, when you are in distress in the latter days and all these things have come upon you, then you will seek the Lord with all your heart and you will find me. Okay? When you are in tribulation is what it says. So King James Version says tribulation. So in order for the Jewish people to return, there's got to be a time of tribulation, of distress in the world, which will precipitate repentance. There's a few, low-hanging fruit like me that just got picked before the tribulation. You know what I'm saying? There's a few thousand, maybe 100,000 of us, you know, 150,000, but there's a lot more. There's millions of Jews who aren't saved, and you can see the times that we live in, can't you? You can see the handwriting on the wall. I don't feel I need to preach it to you, although I will mention some things in this, but you can see what's going on in the world to know. We will never know the day or the hour, our Lord said. Adonai said, we'll never know the day or the hour, but we'll know the season. We'll know the season. Amen? Okay. What kind of distress could cause such a mass repentance? Perhaps the kind of distress that occurred on September 11th, 2001. Paul the Apostle wrote, "For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief." 1 Thessalonians 5:3-4. "You, brethren, are not in darkness, that this day should overtake you as a thief." In other words, we should know. Well, the rest of the world is saying peace and safety, and everything's going to be hunky-dory and making treaties. We're going to know that you know, that sudden destruction is going to come upon the world in different places. Praise God. It is important to remember that the time of distress will come upon the Jewish people while they are scattered among the nations during the end of days, as I said in Deuteronomy 4:27. God will use this distress to draw the Jewish people back to himself, and many non-Jews. Many Gentiles will come back to him too, because when the distress comes upon the world, it's going to come upon Gentiles as well as Jews. So that, you know, many will be saved as well. You know, it's not just Jewish people. The second Exodus. When the time of distress comes upon the Jewish people who are among the nations, they will begin to return to Israel in large numbers, the land of milk and honey. Jeremiah wrote in Jeremiah 16, he wrote these words, "Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, but the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands where he had driven them. For I will bring them back into their land which I gave to their fathers." Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. "Behold, I will send for many fishermen, says the Lord. They shall fish them. Afterward, I will send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and every hill and out of the holes of the rocks." Let's go through this a little bit for a second here. "So therefore, behold, days are coming, says the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, but the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north, from Russia, and from all the countries, all the lands where he's driven us." Hello? This is one of those countries, okay? He's going to bring us back from all, remember he says all, the lands where he had driven us. America's a big one. There are 6.7 to 7 million Jews in America today. Okay? So that's a lot. It would take, if you were to take every jumbo jet and every airline and have them fly 24/7, it would take 6 months to fly all the 6.7 to 7 million Jewish people back to Israel. It would take 6 months flying 24/7 on all the airline jumbo jets. If you were to add in all the Carnival cruise ships to fly the Jewish people, take the Jewish people home by ship and by plane, we used all the Carnival cruise ships, which are owned by an Israeli who has offered to help Jewish people get out in a time of distress, it would take 3 months. How do I know this? I have a friend who's a strategic analyst. He's calculated it. All right. So God says here in Jeremiah, "It'll no more be said the children of Israel who were brought up from the land of Egypt, but the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north." In other words, there's going to come a day, everybody say a day, when people aren't going to be talking about Moses, they're going to be talking about this great exodus that's coming, that's so great that they're going to forget. It's like, I don't think they'll forget Moses, but they'll be talking more about this coming exodus than the one that happened with Moses. Amen. They'll be talking more now. Do we still talk about Moses every week? So has that exodus come yet? I don't think so. That exodus hasn't come. Jesus came, Yeshua, and we've received deliverance from our sins, but we still talk about Moses. You know? And it's still valuable. There's still great lessons in learning about Moses. But this says here, we won't be talking about it. So there's another exodus coming. And he says, "I'll bring them back." And he says, "Behold, I will send for many fishermen, says the Lord." Well, who are the fishermen? Who were Jesus' disciples, most of them? What did they do for a living? Most of them. They were fishermen, right? Most of them were fishermen. He said, "I'm going to make you fishers of men." Those are good people. Those are the kind of people you want coming after you. All right? But the next group, they're not so nice. He says, afterward, he says, "I will send for many hunters, and they will hunt them from every mountain and every hill and out of the holes of the rocks." Those are not nice people. And I think that we're living in the time. I think that I personally believe that on September 11th we crossed over from the time of the fishermen into the time of the hunters. There's still fishermen out there. You can turn me up just a hair, honey. There's still fishermen out there, but we've entered into the time of the hunters, you know. And it's a different world today. Look at what went on in Broward County, Florida, and Parkland, you know, just a couple weeks ago. And there's been other incidents since then, you know. We live in the time of the hunters. That's my opinion. Who are the fishermen? I said that. Yeshua said to his disciples, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Mark 1:17. For decades, God has raised up loving people, both Jewish and Gentile, to go out and bring glad tidings of good news to the Jewish people and tell them that your Messiah has come. Organizations like the American Board of Missions to the Jews, which is now known as Chosen People Ministries and Jews for Jesus, have been faithfully preparing and sending fishers of men out to the Jewish people around the world. Sadly, the vast majority of my Jewish people angrily reject the gospel's message of shalom, of peace, though through the redeeming blood of Messiah Yeshua, our Passover lamb. As a result, God will be forced to send for many hunters reminiscent of Nazi Germany, who will hunt for the Jewish people and force them to flee from the nations where they have been scattered. You know that out of the Holocaust and out of that time of the hunters, do you know Israel was born? Israel wouldn't have been born as a nation. I don't condone the Holocaust in any way, but Israel wouldn't have been born without that tribulation on the Jewish people. And for your information, that could have been the time of Jacob's trouble. I just want you to consider that the 7 years of the Holocaust from 1938 to 45 could have been the time of Jacob's trouble. Many people say the time of Jacob's trouble, thank you, Anthony, is coming upon the world. But that period of 1938 to 1945 could very well have been the time of Jacob's trouble. So if it was, and people are expecting to be taken out before, and 144,000 Jews left, they could be mistaken. All right, let's go on. The Jewish prophet Ezekiel wrote about the time of Israel's distress and regathering from the nations. And this is what he said in Ezekiel chapter 20. "As I live, declares the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with wrath poured out, I will be king over you," is God saying to his Jewish people, "and I shall bring you out from the peoples and gather you from the lands where you are scattered with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with wrath poured out. And I shall bring you into the wilderness of the peoples." Hello? I guess I was a forerunner. To the wilderness. "And there I shall enter into judgment with you face to face." I like what the King James says. It says, "I will plead with you face to face." And what will he plead? What will he plead? Well, it goes on to say, "I will plead with you face to face as I did with your fathers in the wilderness in the land of Egypt. So I will enter into judgment with you, declares the Lord God, and I shall make you pass under the rod, and I shall bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I shall purge from you the rebels and those who transgress against me." What covenant is Ezekiel talking about? That God's going to bring the Jews under the rod, he's going to purge the rebels, and he's going to bring the ones who obey into the bond of the covenant. Well, they were already under Moses, right? So what covenant could they be? Is he prophesying? New. The new covenant. That's it. He's talking about bringing them into the new covenant, your covenant, amen? The covenant that you have, right? That's what he's talking about. He's prophesying, "I'm going to bring you into the new covenant, you know, that we have today." But this is what he says to my people. He says, "So I enter into judgment with you, declares the Lord, and I shall make you pass under the rod, and I shall bring you into the bond of the covenant. I shall purge from you the rebels and those who transgress against me. I shall bring them out of the land where they sojourn," out of the, you know, New York City, Los Angeles, Dallas, Florida, wherever, And I will, but they will not enter into the land of Israel. Thus you will know that I am the Lord. So not all of us are going to go back. And not all Christians, many Messianic believers who are not of Jewish birth are still going to go back to Israel. Many of you will go back if you want to. If you choose to, you have an invitation. God's given you an invitation to go back if you want to go. And if we live to go, not all of us, you know, I did 3 funerals last year. Not all of them, they made Aliyah. They make, as I said, Aliyah means to go back to Jerusalem, back to Israel. They made the ultimate Aliyah, those who passed away this past year. Amen? And so I have a friend who was working for Aliyah. She's a beautiful woman who lived in Moravian Falls, North Carolina. She had a beautiful home up on a mountain. Her and her husband, she was an intercessor. And we used to have meetings to discuss Aliyah and pray for Aliyah. And she had a prayer group up there on a gated mountain. And she had a house. It was 500 yards from any other house. It was hidden. You had to go through punch in the number to get up the gate. Up there in Moravian Falls, and it was way up in the mountains. You could see all the mountains of North Carolina. You could see all of Western North Carolina, Mount Rogers, Mount Mitchell, Grandfather Mountain. You could see it from their house. And we would go up to this beautiful home, and we would pray, and we would worship and plan for Aliyah. And she died of cancer about 9 years ago. And on her tombstone it says, "She finally made Aliyah." She finally made Aliyah. That's my dear friend Mary Z, and she was a wonderful woman, and she was one of my spiritual mothers, and I miss her. Okay, so let's move on here. So Ezekiel prophesied that God would take us back if we don't disobey, if we don't choose to be disobedient. So you have to choose. If you're alive. And this is the message that I preached the other night to these folks. You have 3 choices. You have 3 choices, okay? If I'm right about what's coming, and I've already preached to most of you the message of the last president of the United States, what's coming in the next 7 years. If you haven't heard that message, the last president of the United States, and you're watching us, and you'd like to get a copy, private message me, and I'll send you. Just send me your email or your mail, and I'll send you a copy of the message or tell you how you can get one if you're watching online. But most of you, how many folks here have not heard the message of the last president of the United States? Raise your hand if you've not heard it, or seen it, or read it. Margaret, okay, just Margaret. Well, we'll take care of you, Margaret. Okay. So So if you know what I've said is coming when President Trump finishes his 8 years in office, if you know what I've said is coming at the end of that, then you have 3 choices at the end. You have, one is, you better hope there's a rapture. That would be the easiest way out, okay? Number 2, praise the Lord. Number 2, there's going to be an exodus. You know, when Trump's gone, or before Trump's, one of Trump's last acts, I believe, is going to be to help the Jewish people back to Israel. And many Christians and Messianic Gentiles will join with the Jewish people in going back to Israel and moving there. Many, many thousands. And why do I say that? Because I believe in patterns. I believe in biblical patterns. I don't believe in creating biblical stuff out of thin air. God says in 1 Corinthians 10, he says, follow Moses. Watch Moses. Don't grumble as the children of Israel did. Don't be idolaters as some of them were, and 20,000 perished in a day. He says, don't be sexually immoral as some of them were. Doesn't he say that in 1 Corinthians 10? Amen? Read it for yourself and you'll see. He says, watch Moses. Follow the pattern. When he built the tabernacle, he said, Moses built the tabernacle according to the pattern
exactly, that God gave him on the mountain. And when he finished it, what happened? The glory of God filled the house. Amen? And when Solomon built the temple that God gave the pattern to his father David, what happened in 2 Chronicles 7? Read it, 6 and 7. Read it for yourselves. The glory of God came down and filled the house when Solomon built the temple in Jerusalem according to the pattern. See, everything God does is according to the pattern. And we are a temple of God. Amen? Are we? The Bible, Peter says, you are living stones. You are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. We are living stones. And Ephesians 2 says that we're being built together into a dwelling place of God. We are being built together. That's why we're here in this house as Jew and Gentile, because we're being built together into a dwelling of the Spirit, a dwelling place of the Spirit of God. We're being built together into the holy temple of God. We're all living stones, and God is building us according to His pattern. Amen? And so, what did He do with the Israelites in Egypt? Did He take them out? It says he hid them. He hid them. And you know, I hear a lot, and I'm going to say this to you. Turn to Zephaniah chapter 2. Please turn there if you have a Bible. This has nothing to do with you personally, but I hear a lot of preaching on the rapture and a lot of almost the attitude I hear from people who talk about the rapture is almost like pride. Maybe it is pride. I don't know. You know, it's such. And I've had it. People tell me that if I don't believe that I'm going to be part of the rapture, I'm not going to be raptured. I actually had people say that to me. I don't know where God told them that. I don't know where it says if you don't believe in the rapture. I was told if you believe in Jesus, you're saved, right? I wasn't told if you believe in the rapture, you're going to be raptured. I didn't know where it says rapture in the Bible. Okay, but that's neither here nor there. Turn to Zephaniah 2. See, I believe we're going to be hidden. But why do I believe that? Because the pattern. Children of Israel were hidden in Egypt, in Goshen, and they were spared 7 of the 10 plagues. They were hidden away in Goshen. Here's what God says, the prophet Zephaniah, talking about future. He says, gather yourselves together. Yes, gather, O nation, without shame. Before the decree takes effect, the day passes like chaff. The burning anger of the Lord comes upon you. That's the day of the Lord. Before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you. Seek the Lord, all you humble of the earth, who have carried out his ordinances. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. Perhaps, everybody say perhaps, you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. That's wrath, okay? That's wrath. He doesn't say anything about a rapture. He says, perhaps. He says, seek the Lord, verse 3, all you humble of the earth who have carried out his ordinances. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. Be humble. Don't boast about, you know, oh, I'm going to get taken out of here. And I'm not going to do anything for God because I'm just waiting for the rapture. Perhaps you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's. And perhaps, he doesn't guarantee it. He doesn't say, if you believe in Jesus, you're going to be taken out of here. No, he says, humble yourselves. Seek the Lord. Seek righteousness. Be humble. And maybe, perchance, you will be hidden. You will be spared. That's the word of the Lord. It's the word of the Lord. That's for the day of the Lord. And it's for all people. He says the whole earth. Doesn't he say that? He says it to the whole earth, not just the Jewish people. Okay. All right. So, I read Ezekiel 20 about the Lord says, with a mighty hand and with wrath poured out, you weren't appointed to wrath. No, you weren't. None of you were appointed to wrath. I wasn't appointed to wrath. But I believe God wants to hide me. I just have to be humble and perchance. Okay. This passage confirms Ezekiel 20:38. This passage confirms what Moses predicted about distress coming upon the Jewish people just prior to the bringing them back to Israel. Dear friends, please understand that if distress comes... Oh, the last third choice I gave you. Either you're raptured, and I hope you are. I hope we all are. That'd be nice. If we're all raptured. I hope that's true, and I hope the folks that preach it true. I just don't quite see it myself. But I love you anyway. Number two... You go to Israel and you're hidden. Exodus, Aliyah. We all go to Israel. And we get flown there on the two wings of the great eagle. Jets, jumbo jets. And Donald Trump, and how will we not get blown out of the sky by our enemies? The U.S., the American Eagle, the U.S. military, the Navy, and the Air Force will fly with us. We'll fly on C-130 transport planes. We'll take us to Israel. And there'll be stealth fighters, F-35s, F-18s, alongside those jets to protect them. And ships, there'll be submarines and stuff. And I believe one of the last great things our president's going to do, and why he's taking so much heat. Some of the heat he brings on himself, I will admit. But he's taking so much heat because he's going to do such great things for God. And you say, well, he's not even that godly, you know. Well, Cyrus rebuilt the temple. He didn't even know God. He was a pagan king of Persia. I'm sure he had a harem. You know, if they were getting men in trouble for messing around with women in those days, I'm sure Cyrus would have qualified. There were many great kings that helped the Jewish people, but they were pagan. And God used them. Kings of the nations. Joseph had a good Pharaoh who helped the children of Israel. Amen. Moses, Pharaoh, wasn't nice. Wasn't a nice guy. But there were good kings and bad kings. Amen. Amen. All right. And the third, so I said the first is the rapture, second is the Exodus. The third thing is bug out. A lot of people are bugging out. They're getting their bug out site. They're storing up food for 2 years. They're getting guns and ammo hidden away, and they got their, you know, they've got their perimeter all set up, and they're ready to fight whoever's going to come try to take their stuff. And I'm serious. There's thousands of people out there with bug out. You know, they've either gone into the woods or they've bought land or something. And some of them have dug foxholes and bomb shelters underground, or they've built cabins, and they're out in the woods, and they're just hoping, you know, whatever's coming to America, and they sense that something is coming. They sense it. Am I wrong? Are they bugging out? They're bugging out, right? They're bugging out. A lot of them, especially the wealthy people, are just buying. You know, I mean, if you saw some of the stuff that wealthy people are doing to bug out, you know, they're building these luxury homes underwater. I mean, it's like, you know, it's wild, you know. Okay, so you bug out, and what happens? Whoever the boogeyman is when that day comes, he's going to get you. I don't care who you are. I don't care what guns you have. I don't care, you know, it's going to be like Waco, Texas. They're going to get you. Bugging out ain't going to... Maybe you'll survive a bug out. Maybe a few people can bug out through the tribulation. Maybe some will survive it till the coming of the Lord. Possible. But I don't want to try it. I wouldn't want to be eating earthworms like Bear Grylls, you know. I don't want to be eating worms and elephant poop soup. Which he eats. Okay, let's go on. All right. So distress is coming upon the Jewish people and upon the nations to bring the Jewish people and many Christians back to Israel. Dear friends, please understand that if distress comes upon the Jewish people here in America, it will mean trying times for Christians too. New York City holds the largest population of Jewish people outside of Israel. The September 11th attack on the World Trade Center sparked much fear among New York's Jewish community, but such distress affects us all. Ezekiel mentions three places in the passage. The first place mentioned is the land where you are, the Jewish people, are scattered. In other words, places like Boston, New York, Florida, California, Chicago, Baltimore, Washington. Not many Jews here. People ask me, they say, how many Jews do you know? Why do you have a congregation there in Tennessee or Virginia, where you are? And they say, how many Jews do you have? And I say, or do you know? I say, 1, 2, 3, 4. Not many. I don't know a whole lot. There's doctors, there's some Jewish doctors here and some lawyers, but I really don't know a lot. I know about 8 Jewish people in this whole area that I've met. Not a lot, Why am I here? Why are we here? Praise God. All right, so he mentions three places, the cities where he scattered them. Then Jewish people can be found in the smallest towns and the most remote places. However, we tend to gravitate towards large cities. The majority of Jewish people in America live in urban areas, like I said, New York, Boston, Miami, Baltimore, Chicago, Los Angeles. Thus, we believe that the lands where you are scattered is primarily a reference to the major cities among the nations. The second place Ezekiel mentions is the wilderness of the peoples. If the land where you are scattered refers to the major cities, then the wilderness of the people speaks to us of the wilderness, a place that is unpopulated, or at least much less populated. The word wilderness makes me think of mountains, lakes, streams, forests, hills, clefts of the rocks, caves. Then when I think of wilderness, I think of the mountains, hollows, lakes, and streams of East Tennessee, Western North Carolina, Eastern Kentucky, and Southwest Virginia. I also think of Alaska and Maine. We're not the only wilderness. Montana, there's other places, but we're one of them. The Atlanta Olympic bomber hid out for 5 years in Western North Carolina in the woods. He bugged out for 5 years and escaped the FBI and federal agents and police force trying to get him. Amazing, he hid out there. That's a vast wilderness in Western North Carolina. Okay. So, since America's close to 7 million Jewish citizens are mostly in the cities, it only makes sense that when distress comes upon the cities, God will drive the Jewish people to the wilderness. Once again, whereas, as his word says, I shall enter into judgment with them face to face. And again, that chapter I read to you is Ezekiel chapter 20, starting in verse 33. What will that judgment be? Well, as I said, that's the gospel. He's going to plead with them to accept Yeshua, his son. And he's not just going to be God coming down and pleading with them. We're going to plead with them. They're going to come in a time of trouble. Let's say there's a major hurricane, and it somehow, we're protected by the mountains. Do you know that? Unless a storm comes up through the Gulf of Mexico and goes up like through New Orleans north and then cuts right and goes across, the mid-south, like Nashville and Arkansas and so forth, we usually don't get hit because the mountains protect us. Amen? Amen. If a storm's coming up from Florida and it's coming up through Georgia and through the Carolinas, it usually gets hit by the mountains and we get protected. Okay? What if a freak storm just blew out Atlanta, just totally leveled Atlanta, and people got on the road and started driving away out of Atlanta and started driving north? And some of them went to Knoxville and some of them went to Nashville. But let's say the roads got stuck and cars broke down going to Nashville and cars broke down going to Knoxville. So some of them turned right and went to Bristol. Capiche? You see what I'm saying? They're going to come. God's going to do it. They're going to come. And a prophetic word I received 19, 20 years ago was, I'm going to send more people to you. I was in Florida. I was along A1A in, on east, the east coast of Florida in Boca Raton or Fort Lauderdale. And there's all these high-rise condos. Beautiful. Right along the beach. High-rise condos. Tons of them. One after the other. I'm driving down A1A on the east coast of Florida. And I heard the voice of the Lord, I believe, speak to me and say, Joe, I'm going to send you guys more people than live in these buildings. You're going to need inventory of places for them to stay more than these buildings here along this coast. And I said, oh my goodness, Lord. I thought I had to do it. I bought an apartment building after that. I thought I was going to have to go into the apartment business and buy all these. I thought I was going to be like, it's, you know, Jared Kushner, be an apartment tycoon, Donald Trump. But I got one building with 15 units, then I sold it, and now I'm out of the apartment business. No, it's not me. It wasn't. God was saying it's going to happen, but you're going to be a part of it, but you're not necessarily going to do it all. Notice they're building a lot of apartments lately around here. A lot of townhouses all over the place, near the Pinnacle, off of the Volunteer Parkway. A lot of building going on. A lot of building going on. Okay, let's go on. All right, so where was I here? As I said last month, America is one of the last remaining places on earth with a large Jewish population that has yet to give them up as Pharaoh released the children of Israel. Many, not all, Jewish people have already left Russia, Europe, Africa, and parts of Asia. There are over 6.7 million Jewish people living in North and South America. Well, in South America, yeah, there's millions more. I don't even know how many. More than close to 7 million live in the United States alone. America is ripe for a second exodus, which Jeremiah and Ezekiel and others foretold. What's our vision? Why would God send a Jewish evangelist and his DC-10 pilot wife to start a ministry in the wilderness of East Tennessee? Remember weeks ago, if you remember, I preached, without a vision, the people cast off restraint. So I'm giving you the vision. And I'm giving you the vision. I'm giving you the vision. Without a vision, the people cast off restraint. Many people have no vision. They don't understand what's going on. Do you know, kids went out of school Wednesday. Have you ever seen American children be told by their parents and their teachers to leave their classes and go out and protest against guns? That's a political protest. Have you ever seen in America that you've grown up in where American students have been told to go out by their teachers and their parents, you know, to leave class and protest gun violence? How many of these kids do you actually think understand gun violence or care? 10%? 5%? 12%? I would say below 15. Actually care? Do you know that from South Carolina to New York, students who went out in schools, even in New York, were punished. Some for 5 days with detention. You can look it up on CNN. Just Google it about the kids leaving their classes. Many were punished. Some kid was paddled. I think down in South Carolina was paddled for leaving class. Leaving school, they weren't allowed to go out. Or in Arkansas, someplace, they were punished. One kid was punished for staying in class. He wouldn't go out, and his teacher, he was punished. He was put on detention because he wouldn't leave class to go protest. His teacher punished him, and I'm sure there were many more incidents of that. And so we're seeing adults use children as pawns today. As political pawns. How can you fight kids? How can any commentator, talking head, politician get up and speak against the kids when they're getting shot, you know, not by the millions, not by the thousands, not even maybe by the hundreds if you over time, but 17 at Parkland, 17 kids. You know, more people die from gun laws. When Hitler, in 1928, the Kaiser of Germany made the German people start registering their guns. Hitler continued after the Kaiser was gone in 1932-33. Hitler continued the gun laws, made them stricter, and took them away. By 1938, all Jews, their guns were taken away. They had no way to fight back when the Nazis came for them in 1939 and started carting them off to the camps. They had no way to fight back. Now, they were even had knives taken away from them. Okay? Joseph Stalin took the guns away from his people and killed, I think, 25 million of them. Chairman Mao Zedong, he did the same thing. He took the people's guns away and he killed millions. Millions of people have died because of gun restrictions and gun laws. God gave us a freedom. Do you know who created guns? Was it Winchester, Remington, Ruger, or God? I tell you, it was the last one, God. All things were created through him, John 1. Through him, all things were created. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. There is no created thing that God didn't create. God, a woman on, that I know on Facebook in Florida was sleeping with her son a week ago, and some crook came and started shaking the window trying to get in to her bedroom. And she turned on the lights and called the police. But I'm going to tell you something. If that person or persons had gotten in and they had weapons, police wouldn't have saved her. So it would take the police 10, 20, 30 minutes or more to get to the house. Most of those incidents, when the break-in takes place, within 3 to 5 minutes, it's done. And the police come and mop up. It's over. Police aren't going to save you. If you're not prepared to defend yourself, I told that woman, everybody was like, oh dear, Lord, comfort her. And I'm like, yeah, comfort her. I comfort this gal. I prayed. I said, Lord, comfort her and bring her peace and calm. It's terrible. I've been broken into in my house. I was in my bed when 5 drunk football players from University of Massachusetts threatened to break down the glass door of my parents' beach house, the sliding glass door. Big football players, drunk. And if I didn't break, I couldn't get to a phone to call for police. And it was before cell phones. It's like 1987, 88, 86. No cell phones. I couldn't get to a phone. And I didn't let these guys in. They were going to smash the door. So I let them in. They peed in the living room. And I was held hostage with my buddy who was spending the night at the house. I was held hostage by these giant football players from the University of Massachusetts overnight. It's a horrible feeling to be held captive in your own house by 5 drunken football players. You know, they were turned onto my house by a friend, a supposed friend of mine. So I said to this woman, I said, you ought to get yourself, just a recommendation, pray about getting yourself a youth shotgun, a Remington youth model shotgun, even though Remington's going out of business. You can get youth model shotguns. And just hearing that, most people who are trying to break into your house, once they hear that, they'll leave. Okay? Usually that's enough. But God forbid they come in. You gonna let them take you and your kid, or are you gonna fight for you and your kid? What are you gonna do? Fight. That's right. You don't believe me? Let me show you one verse, Exodus 22. You think I'm full of coke? And I gave her some advice. I said, this could be a warning from the Lord that you need to get a gun. Everybody else was saying, nobody was saying that. And some people even questioned me. But turn to Exodus 22. If a thief, verse 2, if a thief is caught while breaking in and is struck so that he dies, there will be no blood guiltiness on his account. If a thief is caught breaking into your house and you strike him and he dies, there will be no blood guiltiness because you killed him. That's in Exodus 22. If he breaks into your house in the night Okay? It says, but if the sun has risen on him, there will be blood guiltiness on his account. He shall surely make restitution, whoever killed him, if he breaks in during the day. Why does God say there's no guilt, no punishment for you if you kill someone who breaks into your house at night? God says it. But if he breaks in during the day, according to God, there shall be blood guilt. I'll tell you why. At night, people come into your house, they know you're there, right? If somebody breaks into your house at night, they know you're there. They're coming to do you harm. They're anticipating they're going to meet you, and they're going to beat you with whatever it takes. Got it? During the day, they're expecting you to be gone. They break into your house during the day, they're expecting you to be at work or out of the house, and they can do it. In the daytime, they're coming after stuff. So if you're in the house, according to God's word, if you kill them during the day, now the police might not. The law of the land says if somebody breaks into your house any time of day and you shoot them, you may have to go to court. You may be charged. But you do have the right, if you're threatened, if your life is in danger and they break into your house and threaten you, you have a right to defend yourself. God even says it. Isn't that amazing? All the things you find. All right. Without a vision, I'm almost done. Without a vision, the people cast off restraint. Another Bible version says, without a vision, the people perish. Why would God send a Jewish evangelist and his DC-10 pilot wife to start a ministry in the wilderness of East Tennessee? To remind the church that he who scattered Israel will gather him again. Jeremiah 31:10. To prepare housing for the Jewish people when they come, and non-Jews. To escape to the wilderness from the cities. To have a missionary aviation. I don't think we're going to have missionary aviation. I think there's going to be airlines flying Jewish people out. I don't think my vision was much smaller when I wrote this. It takes a lot of money in handout to fly an airplane, and to fly a jumbo jet takes millions of dollars. I've got a friend who owns 50 to 75 jumbo jets, which he leases out. Him and his partner lease out 75 or so jumbo jets to companies. It's very expensive. Very expensive. So I don't think we're going to have a mission. I think there's, you know, it's going to be commercial and U.S. military, Navy and Air Force. But we're going to have to house them, feed them, clothe them. We're going to have to comfort them. We're going to have to minister to them, preach the gospel to them. And the ones who rebel, let them rebel. Let them go. The ones who don't rebel, they can stay. Simple as that. Let God weed them out. God will weed them out. Okay? Incidentally, Tri-Cities Airport has a runway capable of landing a 747, which is very rare for a regional airport. This is highly unusual. We will need several large transport planes to help get the Jewish people to Israel. Boy, I was naive when I wrote this. It's going to take all the jumbo jets in the country to get them there. We are also here to raise up a generation of Corrie Ten Booms. Corrie Ten Boom was a Dutch woman whose family risked their lives, Christian woman, to shelter Jewish people and help get them out of Holland during the Holocaust. Corrie ended up in a concentration camp, and the Nazis, for their sacrifice on behalf of the Jewish people, killed several in her family. Many people say that they support Israel, and they love the Jewish people, but love is an action, not a feeling. This vision calls for dedicated, committed people who are willing to give sacrificially of their time, of their energy, of their prayers, of their resources to make this vision come to pass. And if, you know, I share this with you, this is the answer to the question, why is Passover back in the church after 1700 years? I'm saying there's coming an exodus. And God's trying to tell us it's Passover's back because the Exodus is coming. Get ready. Now, don't take my word for it. Pray. I always tell people, don't just take my word for it. Study. I give you these tools. You can even get a copy of this if you haven't. You know, I've been out there. This is the vision. And I don't want you to cast off restraint and build a golden calf. So I'm sharing the vision with you. Amen? And to preach the gospel. Part of it, I've said that. God says you'll bring them into the bond of the covenant. That's the gospel. Amen? That's part of the gospel's part of the vision. So the last words, the vision calls for dedicated, committed people who are willing to give sacrificially of their time, their energy, their prayers, their resources to make this come to pass. Do you know there are people all over this region doing this, preparing for what I'm saying? You don't know them? Only a couple, maybe Carol knows some. Carol, am I right? You've met them. Are there a bunch of them? Are there some very prominent people? She served them. There's been meetings and she's served them. She knows. You wouldn't have any idea, unless you came. But you have to show me that you are committed in order to come and committed to the vision, not just committed to worship here. You have to show me that you're committed to this, believe in it, Anyway, all right, let me finish up. According to God's, so just pray. Don't take my word for it. Pray. Study the word to show thyself approved. Amen. God will show you. Just say, God, is Rabbi Joe telling me straight? Or is he full of coke? He'll tell you. You know, I'm not afraid. I've been preaching this vision for 20 years. Hallelujah. According to God's word, it will not be the Jews who help the Jewish people leave America. It will be the nations, the Gentiles. Behold, I will lift my hand as an oath to the nations. The word nations in Hebrew is Gentiles, goyim. And set up my standard for the peoples. They shall bring your sons in their arms, and your daughters will be carried on their shoulders. Isaiah 49:22. Then they shall bring all your brethren for an offering for the Lord out of all the nations on horses and in chariots and litters, on mules and camels, to my holy mountain, Jerusalem. Isaiah 66:20. Another verse says, kings and queens, kings shall be your guardians and queens will be your nursemaids. Wow. That's pretty cool. That's what we have to look forward to. And I'm sure if kings and queens are my guardians and nursemaids, they'll be yours too. Because you're my family. Amen? You're my family. And I'm not going to leave without you unless you don't want to go. You just have to say no. You know, you do have a choice. Remember, you have a choice. If you're here, if you're not here, I may not be here when this happens. This, you know, I don't know when this is going to happen, but I don't want to be, I'm telling you this. You better think about what you're going to do, what life's going to be like whether you support President Trump or not, whether you like him or not. You better think about what life in America is going to be like when President Trump is gone. You got to think about what American life is going to be like and the backlash that's going to come because of all the people, all the anger that's channeled towards Trump. When he's gone, who do you think it's going to go to? Anyone who supported him. So are you prepared? And if going to Israel is the answer, what do you need to do to get ready? Do you need to sell your belongings, your homes? Do you need to liquefy your assets? Do you need to put some of your assets in Israel? Do you need to sell your bug out? You have to figure it out. Are you going to bug out? Are you going to get out? If you're going to be raptured and you believe that and God shows you that, praise God. Then pray, prepare. Just be prepared for what life is going to be like in 6.5 years. Time is short. We need to be ready. Need to be ready. God has a plan. Here's the encouraging news. Whether it's rapture or an exodus, God has a plan. Follow Zephaniah 2. Seek righteousness, seek humility, pray that you might be hidden in the day of the Lord's wrath. and ask the Lord if I'm telling you straight. He will show you. And don't stop till you get an answer. Because we're living in serious times. I mean, you know, the Hitler Youth, when I see them taking the kids out of the schools and forcing them to get out of school for political reasons, it reminds me of the Hitler Youth. Does it remind you of that? You know, and when I see these Antifa people beating people with sticks, and yeah, I'm no white supremacist or supporter of white supremacists, but I've seen a lot more Antifa people around the country than white supremacists. I saw one march in Charlottesville of Klan people, one. And what are they saying? Something about the Jews. They were condemning the Jews. Well, the Antifa people were beating their tar out of them. Go figure. Let me tell you, Jews, you liberal Jews watching, just like the Germans were gathered up, Jewish German Jews were gathered up who fought for the Germans in World War I, when these people are ready to gather people up, they're going to gather you too, even though you were on their side. Just because you're Jewish, they're going to gather you up. And they're going to gather up Christians. And they're not going to care that you voted for Hillary. They're not going to care that you voted for Bill. They're not going to care that you supported Al Gore or anyone or whoever else. If you're Jewish, it's going to override all your liberal beliefs and everything, and you're going to perish too. For you have been called for such a time as this. And if you do not save your people at this time, and God will bring salvation for them from somewhere else. Please rise. I want to bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha. Ichunecha Yisadonai Panavelecha Vayasem lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. God bless you. Shabbat shalom. Sign up for the Passover. I think we have lunch. Is lunch served? Oneg? Does anybody know? Carol, we know? Lunch should be. I know my wife made matzo ball soup. So greet one another. God bless you. God loves you, and so do I.